27 minutes after the hour. Good morning, everyone. Bill Arnold here. Barry Black is the chaplain of the U.S. Senate. He's had that job for 14 years. He was originally with the Navy for 27 as Rear Admiral, and he's been with the chaplain as the Senate chaplain for 14 years. Remarks have been made that there has never been a better one since there's been a U.S. chaplain, and the first one was a guy named William Lynn. He started his job May 1st, 1789. So you got some competition, and you've risen to the top, and he was the keynote speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast, which I watched last night, and then I couldn't get to sleep because he had me all wound up. So thanks a lot, Barry.
Well, it's my honor to be with you, Bill.
Yeah, but you got me all excited last night after I watched your keynote. I couldn't get to sleep.
Well, I would say the Holy Spirit got you excited, Bill, because he was the one who was using me.
Isn't that the truth? And I just absolutely loved how your story started. You talked about your mom at a very young age. You used to use a little bit of financial encouragement for you and your siblings to memorize Scripture. And you're no dummy. You went to the shortest verses in the Bible.
Yes. Well, my siblings followed in my train. The reality is there's nothing like a monetary incentive to motivate your children to get into the Bible. And I did the same thing with my sons. The only problem was it took a dollar a verse instead of a nickel a verse by the time I got married.
Yeah, everything is inflated, isn't it? You know, I'm so
But you could get about the same for the dollar as you could for the nickel when I was growing up.
That's a very good point. You know, I'm very curious when I hear the chaplain to the Senate. It always makes me wonder what your day-to-day, what your days look like. And do people from the Senate come specifically to you? Do you reach out to them, or is it a combination of both?
It's a combination of both, Bill. I am their pastor away from home. There is a physician for the Senate,
okay,
and because they can't go to their hometown physician, the senators and the staffers are away from home.
Mm-hmm.
They go to the office of the physician of the Senate. Well, I am the spiritual physician of the Senate.
Amen.
And they can't go to their pastor many times. I mean, you can call them on the phone, but there's nothing like having someone right there with you. And so since 1789, in fact, predating the Establishment Clause to the First Amendment, the framers thought that they needed a spiritual presence in the lower and the upper chambers of the legislative branch. And so we've had chaplains, and chaplains have been praying almost uninterrupted since 1789, convening each session of the Senate with a prayer.
That's awesome. Now, I'm curious, tell me, like, in a typical day, would a meeting last anywhere from 2 minutes to an hour? I mean,
it's a counseling session with a staffer.
Okay.
There are approximately 7,000 people who make up the Senate side of Capitol Hill.
Wow.
So it could be anything from an interpersonal relationship challenge, a vocational challenge, a financial challenge, a spiritual challenge, an intellectual challenge, a social challenge. So that's how the counseling goes. But I also conduct 4 Bible studies every week, so there's a religious education outreach to the office. One is just for the senators, one is for the chiefs of staff, and then 2 plenary Bible studies where anyone who desires to come may do so. And then we have a prayer breakfast every week on Wednesday morning where the lawmakers come together both sides of the aisle. Every time the Senate is in session, we have that. I do spiritual mentoring classes, a much smaller group, helping people to learn how to become spiritually fit, to master the spiritual disciplines. I do hospital visitations. I officiate at weddings, funerals, and memorial services. So I'm a full-time pastor for a church of about 7,000 people.
Wow. All right, what changes have you seen in America, the spiritual climate, in the last 14 years you've been chaplain in the Senate?
Well, I think that we basically in the Senate reflect what's going on outside of the Senate. So the polarization that you see outside of the Senate,
mm-hmm.
you also see on Capitol Hill. I think there are, as Paul says in Philippians 4, saints in Caesar's household. So
mm-hmm.
There are passionate people of faith in on Capitol Hill who sigh and cry and intercede and send their prayers up, who fast and pray, who do spiritual warfare. So outside up Capitol Hill, there are passionate believers. There are passionate believers on Capitol Hill. And I think the God we serve is in charge. He's never sitting on his throne, wringing his hands, wondering, what are we going to do next? There's a wonderful hymn, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet." And I think there are hundreds of people on Capitol Hill who believe that, and a significant percentage of our lawmakers who believe that as well.
Mm-hmm. I would say that our country is now has a considerable amount of fear about what's going on politically, fear what's going on with their cities and communities, with violence, with all kinds of things. But you have conveniently written a book called Nothing to Fear. And talk a little bit about that.
Well, Bill, I was fasting and praying with several hundred other people on Capitol Hill 6 months away from the election that God's will would be done. Mm-hmm. And about 3 months into my intermittent fast, I was having one meal a day for 6 months, as were others. God just placed in my spirit the verse in Matthew 10 that says, "Behold, I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves." And I've heard that text many, many times, but reading it, went to the book and looking at the context, it just amazed me that a good shepherd would send not a sheep, but a lamb, a baby sheep, into the midst of the predatory. I mean, one wolf could eviscerate, sheep. But here is a single lamb or lambs in the midst of wolves. And so I toyed with that, and I just got a download, is all I can say, from the Spirit. And very rapidly churned out Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Predatory World. And God basically said to his disciples as he sent them into the midst of the predatory, "You need a tough mind and a tender heart. You need to be wise as a snake and innocent as a dove." There are a lot of Christians who have, and people of faith, who have innocent hearts, and there's a certain naivety to that. Joseph coming toward his brothers in Genesis 37, thought he was in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and his brothers had a predatory instinct. Behold, the dreamer comes, and Joseph is, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. So it's not enough to have the innocence of a dove. You need the tough mind that the Apostle Paul had when they were about to flog him, and Paul says, "You mean to tell me you're about to flog a Roman citizen?" And they said, "You're a Roman citizen?" So Paul was able to avoid a beating because he had a tough mind.
Yeah.
Jesus had a tough mind when he said to Peter in Matthew 16:23, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Mm-hmm.
On the call, one of your closest followers, your adversary, after telling him 7 verses earlier, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven," that's a tough mind. But he was so committed to Calvary that he had that spirit. That's the spirit that we need to thrive, not just survive, but thrive in a threatening world. Yeah. And so the book unpacks that whole experience of Jesus and his disciples and helps us to see that we too can have tough minds and tender hearts.
Now you've got me too excited to even take a nap today. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, more with the chaplain, Barry Black. Be back in a minute. Nine minutes after the hour, talking to Chaplain Barry Black. I've got lots of things to ask, so I'm going to talk fast, Barry. What is it like when you talk to a senator who might have private convictions about an issue, but then they act quite differently publicly about them?
Well, I talked to the senator about having ethical reasons for his action, and to understand that with a right versus right conundrum, that he needs to have ethical reasons based upon biblical principles for his actions. So I sometimes will even give philosophical reasons, like Kant, live in such a way that your action can be made universal law, or John Stuart Mill, strive to do the most good for the most people, or our blessed Lord, what you don't want done to you, don't do to someone else. So I simply attempt to provide lenses for the lawmaker to look through so that he or she can be comfortable and be able to give a reason, as Peter said, for why they did what they did.
That's great. Now, your book, Nothing to Fear, it's, I want to read something from it because this struck me, that you say, we remain fearless in a dangerous world by allowing God to help us become the right kind of soil. Soil that God can use in a wholesome and productive way. Soil that will bring forth exponential growth. 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. And you practice these following principles, and you laid these out. Live productively. Open your mind to truth. Think things through. Well, that's a big one for me. Don't crowd out the important things.
In Matthew chapter 13, there's the parable, some say, of the sower, but it's the parable of the four soils, and there's a wayside soil, rocky soil, thorny soil, and good soil. The good soil brings forth exponentially. And we're told the characteristics of those soils, so it's important that we be good soil, soil that God can use, for one thing, to not let the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things, as in the thorny soil, choke our dreams. So we can work at, once we understand the different kinds of soil, being the kind of productive soil that God would have us to be. And that, those are some of the things we need to think through in order to maximize our possibilities by God's grace and for His glory.
Barry, another thing from this, the book, a point you make is translate hearing into action. That's a tough one for a lot of people. How can you encourage us?
Well, Jesus said, why call me Lord and do not the things that I tell you to do? And he ends his Sermon on the Mount. The conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount is, those who hear these words of mine and do them will be like the person who builds his or her house on the rock. The key is John 14:15, Bill. Our blessed Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says the love of Christ controls us. So I find that when you love, when it's a relationship and not just fear of hell or the desire for heaven, it makes all of the difference in the world. There will be, as the spiritual says, something within you that holds the reins.
Now, Barry, you spend all day in a city that deals a lot with worldly issues all day long. I get the feeling you spend not as much time thinking about worldly issues, and you spend most of your time thinking about heavenly issues and how you can connect those to the people you're serving.
Well, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your affection on things above and not on the earth beneath. You know, if I had a billionaire, and I do have a few billionaire friends, but if I had one of my friends saying, Barry, I'm preparing a place for you in Manhattan. I know you like New York, and that's what I'm doing. I wouldn't think very much of anything else during the day than that place that that person is preparing for me. Well, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And yet, most of us rarely think about heaven or think about that place that he is preparing. So if we obey Colossians 3 and set our affection on things above, we'll discover that it will have a transforming impact on what happens to us in the present.
Tell me a little bit about your parents, because I think they did something really right.
Well, my mother, as I said in my National Prayer Breakfast speech, gave my siblings and me a monetary incentive for memorizing the scriptures, and she realized that she was inoculating us for the pathology that we would have to deal with in our environment. My father was not really around much. He was a long-distance truck driver, and we saw him sporadically. Mm-hmm. I often say he had a nomadic existence. Mm-hmm. But my mother, a woman who had us in church every time the church door opened. So mm-hmm. we were there for Wednesday night prayer service and Sunday evening evangelistic meetings and for divine worship, and we had something called missionary volunteer and early morning prayer service. So we stayed in church, and there are some things that are taught, but there are many things that are caught. And when you're sitting there listening to preaching and testimonies and the amazing lyrics of Christian hymns, those things will have a transformative impact on your life. So I had a very wise mother.
Mm-hmm. And you, she really helped you develop your God-given gifts, because I love every question I ask you, Barry. You start by responding with Scripture. This is an inspiration to me.
Well, John 17:17
you go,
says,
Barry.
Your
Here's
word is truth, and I try to speak the truth.
And you do a fantastic job. I think of Jesus in the wilderness when he was being tempted by Satan. He starts every response with, it is written. He goes right to the word.
There you go. Well, you know, Ephesians 6 calls the word of God the sword of the Spirit, and it is the only weapon for offense in that amazing armor in Ephesians 6. So we better know how to say it is written. And we also have to rightly divide, because like the devil in the wilderness in Matthew 4, he wrongly divided.
Yeah.
And we have to know how to rightly divide 2 Timothy 2:15, the word of truth.
Okay, Barry, here's my plan. I'm going to become a U.S. senator just so I can hang with you.
Well, that's great. Well, I look forward to it, and I hope that Providence makes that a reality for you, Bill.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. Be blessed.
You bet. It's 57 minutes after the hour. We'll be back in just a minute.